Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
Some secrets are kept in the basement. Others in the morgue. Welcome to Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi, featuring defense attorney and host of the podcast, Defense Diaries, Bob Mata.
Let's go back to the case for a moment and talk about the defense ending rather quickly. And you said you were kind of surprised by this. Everyone was surprised. Why do you think that is? On the outside looking in, what my reaction was, I think the prosecution already sunk themselves. Let's not keep adding more to the fire, which could steer us in another way. And let's, less is more is kind of what I was thinking. What was your thoughts being actually there?
It's so hard to know, you know, because it's like you look at it like, and it was the first time I had ever sat on that side of the bar where I'm not in the well of the courtroom trying the case from beginning to end. Like, obviously I've streamed a bunch of trials. It's different when you're there. Yeah. It just is. You're seeing more, you know, even though I was at the disadvantage of having to write the whole time, trying to transcribe this trial as best as I could, you know, but you have this dilemma of the confessions. So you had to deal with them in some way, shape or form. And you know, like, how do you balance how much of the state's, what I consider to be weak case in terms of evidence, pulling, if you pull the confessions out of it and you're like, okay, well, they basically have mere presence at the bridge and you have a few eyewitnesses that all give different descriptions of a different person, at least in my estimation. Yeah. And then you got this unspent casing. So you've got to deal with those independently, but also understanding that the most powerful evidence at the end of the day is going to be those confessions, you know, and then you're kind of looking at it from the defense perspective. You're like, how much do we put on? Do we put Kathy Allen on? Do we need to give this jury an understanding of where Rick was for the rest of the day? Like what was his demeanor when I got home from work, you know, like frankly, and I'm sure that was the toughest decision for the defense, whether or not to put her on, you know, and it could have been Rick Allen, who's very protective of his wife, saying, I don't want her involved with this, to not put her on the stand. I don't know. I mean, ultimately that's a strategy decision by the attorneys, not the client. You know, but like personally, like I leaned on the side that was a mistake not putting her on, because I think the jury needed to hear what was going on with Rick when she got home from work. Like, what was he doing? Who does the laundry? You know, was there any laundry being done? Was there, you know, did he leave that night? Was he acting strange? Like all those things that you could have asked her, because the way it kind of went down is you never really heard where Rick Allen was that whole day. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of left at that, which strategically, when you're kind of looking at the microcosm of the case and you're shrinking it down to the period of time in which the state believes the girls were killed, which is why I was like, you attack the timeline. You know, you attack the timeline. They could not prove when the girls died. The only information that they were using was saying that Libby's Apple Health data, her phone data, said that the phone stopped moving in such and such a time. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean that's when the girls died.
No.
It just doesn't, you know? And it's like, you get this kind of like stunning evidence brought in at the very last minute by the defense, with this phone being plugged in, that the headphone port was accessed from 5:22 to 10 and then unplugged at 10:23. You've got, you know, their phone data guy going down and Googling, you know, in a 15-minute break and coming up and testifying, oh, I Googled that can be from water damage or dirt. And like, why wasn't that looked at?
Yeah.
Like what, are you telling me that at no point during the 7 years of investigation that no one ever, with this thought that the girls crossed the creek, like that, like that at some point that they were forced to cross the creek, like, don't you want to just see if the phone had water damage just to support that proposition alone, without even thinking about this thing that they may have found or that they did find in the data.
Yeah.
You know, like, how was that never done? Like in the search for the truth, like my biggest takeaway from this trial is that this investigation was not good. Like that, and we all knew that going in, but it was substantiated at trial. You know, it's one thing to hear about it and hear everybody speculate about it. It's another thing to hear it come into evidence. You know, the amount of lost interviews, the amount of things that weren't done, the amount of things that they did at trial. Like they get a jury question about, oh, did you ever go and see how many Ford Focuses were, you know, in the area? You know, black Ford Focuses were in the area at the time, and they hadn't done that. And then they do it after they get that jury question in the middle of trial.
Yeah.
You know, and then they only provide the information on a real limited scope. Like they don't talk about all the cars that look like Ford Focuses. You can't tell what kind of car that is.
Well, one of the pieces from afar that I was kind of taken aback by was the individual, I believe it was an officer, who testified about the voice on the bridge and the voice on the video and Richard Allen, and just basically stating, I believe that's him. Okay, how have you verified this? What testing have you done on the voice to compare it? Was there any testing? This is just literally his opinion from what I've understood.
Yeah.
That's no, it. Exactly. And presented as fact.
Presented as if this guy, like, and I mean, obviously they crossed him. Do you have any training? Do you have any education to make that kind of assessment on the stand in the middle of a trial? And he's like, no, I don't have any of that. And then she allows that opinion to come in. I was like stunned.
Yeah.
And I was like stunned. I was absolutely, I couldn't believe it.
How many times did you just want to stand up and yell?
That's like me putting you on the stand, Tony, and saying, hey, man, you're like, Tony, yeah, I listened to it. I listened to it 100 times, maybe more. And I had headphones on. Oh, okay. And then you listen to the audio from that video. Okay. And then Tony, in your expert opinion, because you listened to so many times, is that the same voice?
Yeah. Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Unequivocally, it's the same voice.
Yeah.
I'm like, am I in crazy world?
Yeah. It felt like, what are we doing here? Like, how is this being presented as fact? Like, we have things. We have tools to do these tasks.
Right. why not get somebody to figure out the height of the bridge guy? Like, either way.
There's
like,
ways of doing these things.
There's 100% ways to do it, and they chose not to do it. Like, that came out on testimony. Like, it was like 10 grand. We decided because of the error rate that we decided not to do it. I'm like, oh, man, I don't know, man. I don't know. It was just a thing. So I don't know. It's all going to come out on appeal, though.
It will.
All of it, we're going to hear about it all on appeal. You know, the nice thing about the appeal is that they're going to have to make the transcripts. So, I want the world to read the transcripts.
Yeah.
You know, I did the best I could. Yeah. Andrea did the best that she could. You know, lawyerly, we all did the best that we could to transcribe every word that you can, but you can't do it.
No.
It's impossible, you know, and you know, the world deserves to know what went on in that courtroom word for word, you know? So, like, this thing's not over.
Like, no.
Which is unfortunate for the families, but that's part of the process. You know,
I was so hoping, because initially going in, I thought, well, maybe it could go either way. Then the way it was going, I was thinking, he's going to get off. Like, this is great that they can kind of move on and hopefully actually go after who actually did this. But nope. Here we are again.
Yep. I mean, dude. It's one of those things where he may never get a new trial.
Yeah.
You know, you never know. It's like, you can't sit here confident about anything. You know, you'll hear the talking heads on it, and, you know, you'll hear both sides of it. There's no way those confessions are too in stone, but those confessions, man, you can't trust them. Why couldn't they have just done it honestly? Like, why did they have to do the things that they did? In order to I would have trusted those confessions a hell of a lot more if he was making them in Cass County Jail.
1,000%. It was not the same Richard Allen in that initial police interview that was making those confessions. Very different person.
He was a shell of his former self. It was shocking, man.
Well, we will continue to watch it. And maybe 10 years from now, you got to go drive there again and sit in a courtroom.
I'm
going to
go up for sentencing, even though that's a foregone conclusion. Yeah. She's going to get the maximum possible. So, but, gosh. You know, I follow the case, man.
Great reporting, Bob Mata. Thank you for being there and bringing us the latest every single day.
I've been missing you, buddy, so I'm glad I'm back.
Back to normal.
Back to our regularly scheduled programs, you know what I mean?
Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
Let's be honest. Nothing kills the thrill of a good murder mystery like a commercial for laundry detergent. It's like someone slapping a closed sign on your favorite dive bar. But you're not here for that, are you? You're here for the good stuff. So ditch the ads and upgrade to True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts. With True Crime Today Premium Plus, you get your crime straight. No chaser. Commercial free with extended interviews and early access. It's like getting the bartender's special when the bar's already closed. Search for True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts. Subscribe and drink it all in.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.